Blog Talk Radio.
Tempered steel, glowing red, the bed of coals, the poet is born. Our story is riddled with challenges and changes, like blows from a blacksmith's hammer, bent and chiseled into shape. If only forging a poet were that easy. Emotional development, relationship, experiences, environment, genetics, all take hand in molding the immature adult we are today. That was a joke. Come on, we're on the air.
So welcome to the Double Helix, where we examine the X's and Y's on a show celebrating the human experience, where your true colors are what ties the room together. So get comfortable, because what you're about to hear is poetry that we are made of.
I'm the Duke of St. Paul, Dexter Bailey.
And I'm Aphasiana. We will be featuring poems from our contest on the website allpoetry.com. We are part of a group on the website called Late Night Poets. If you are in the group, you can follow along the chat to read the poems as we do for the full experience. However, you do not need to be in the group to contribute poems, call in, or listen.
Thank you, Fill My Eyes from Late Night Poets, and thank you, Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you, Dexter, for hosting with me, and to everyone who contributed poems or calls in. Your writing is what we are here for.
Good evening, good evening. Hope all is well. Hope everybody can hear me out there. We got another phenomenal night of poetry, and this is just not another night of poetry. This is a very special night that we have lined up. We have a very important topic tonight, a very uncovered topic. As of late, it's been a lot more explored. But Pam, I hope that you're here. You deserve a lot of credit for making this such a special night here, and I'm in setting us up. You've been doing it for 4 years. This is the fifth annual Autism Awareness Month show, and Pam, you deserve a round of applause for this one. I hope you're there.
Hey, Pam.
I am here, and also, hiya, Faziana. And Dexter, it's good to hear you both. It's good to be here with you.
Yes, and thank you to all poets. Oh, Faziana, you did make it. Faziana was a little sick under the weather. Faziana, glad that you could make it.
Thank you. Yes, I'm a little groggy and sleepy right now, so Pam is amazing, and she's going to handle the behind-the-scenes studio things, so I don't mess that up tonight as I'm not thinking too clear.
Okay.
And I really appreciate all of Pam's help with this week. I take no credit. Dexter and Pam put together the contest, and they've done everything this week, so thank you both.
Thank you. I broke my phone. I'm on like a backup work laptop. I downloaded Skype. I was all over the place. I went to Goodwill to buy a landline. I couldn't get that to work. So finally, I was able to get something that was going to make tonight happen. So I'm glad that I could make it. And I'm happy that All Poetry, of all things, this is a group from All Poetry. You don't have to be a part of this. So we're Late Night Poets is the group. But All Poetry spotlighted this contest. So props to them. So we got a full night, a whole board lined up. And so let's, Pam, do you got anything that you'd like to add for this week before we get started?
Well, first of all, I'm very thankful to you and to Faziana for allowing us to use this show for your show, Double Helix, for the Autism Awareness Show. This is, as I've been saying all week off and on, a topic very close to my heart. As most people know me, know I have a son with autism. And I just think it's an important topic, and I think it's an important opportunity for us to communicate about the subject. I do say every year, I give a heads up, that this isn't to be anybody's political platform, agenda platform. You know, I know even in the autism community, we have our differences. We have our differences on how we think autism started, how it can be cured or not be cured, you know, all that stuff. And this is to be one of those nights where we show that love and support to the autism community and for families that have a loved one with autism, or people just learning about autism. It is not an opportunity for an individual to preach or for us to get into arguments. And by this point, I probably don't even need to say this, but I still do just in case, because I will say that every single year we have had wonderful shows where people have been truly loving and respectful, and I have no doubt that this will be the same. So, but I do like to always mention that. And again, thank you so much to both of you.
I agree. And I think that this was the fitting show to put it on. And yes, I agree. You know, there's certain things that need to be celebrated, you know, and everybody's experience with all of it has all been different. And this is about celebrating people's different experiences. But like you said, not about overstepping boundaries. I'm just excited about all of the poems that we got, all of the poets that came out and wrote. I think it's a true night of strength.
Yeah.
It's a true night of strength, of you know, speaking out, sharing sharing a very deep interpersonal side about you or about somebody that you're close with for the most part. And so, I think it's the perfect platform. So I'm glad that you brought this to us, Pam, and I'm excited for tonight.
Me too.
Me too. And I should say me too, but I would like to let you know I have that on area code 111, which I'm pretty sure is Naomi, but I guess we'll find out if I'm right or wrong. Hello, Naomi.
Yeah.
How's it going?
Yeah, you're right. Hello. Hello,
welcome,
guys.
Are you on Skype too, Naomi?
Yeah, I'm on Skype.
Yeah, there you go. See, we're on the same triple one. Naomi's calling from sitting right next to me. No, I'm
not your neighbor.
We both got the 1111 phone number tonight. So
yeah.
So
Diane is supposed to phone in too. So I wonder if she'll be phoning in on Skype. For the first time, she's going to be phoning into a show.
Oh, that'd be great. We'll make sure to save her right for when she's here.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Absolutely.
Well,
Naomi, do you mind if we start off with the one by Angel Wings, then we'll get right to yours?
Oh, no. Well, I'm here for the show, so just go with whichever you want. Yeah, I'm just here to support, and I think it's such an amazing subject, and such an amazing show that you're doing, and I applaud all of you for doing this.
Yes, awesome. Well, I'm glad that you're here. And with that being said, Faziano, how do you want to start this?
All right, I'm going to read the poem by Angel Wings. This is called Through the Eyes of a Person with Autism. Although I have autism and seem different to you, I am still able to do things the same as you do. Sometimes I can't speak or say what I want to say, but I can still communicate in my own special way. You think that I don't listen or that I have not heard, but when you're speaking, I understand every word. I may get a little frustrated and sometimes I may cry. I just wish I could tell you, but I don't understand why. I find it difficult to socialize and being around crowds. I'm very sensitive to noise. I don't like it when it's loud. I need you to be patient, and please don't get mad. Don't scream and shout, as it makes me feel bad. Don't see me as different or think of me any less. I'm just like other children, trying to do my very best. End poem.
Wow. What a perfect piece to start off tonight, and great read of Faziana. Why don't we go to you, Naomi? What did you think about this write?
Yeah, well, she says that her son has autism. And, the final line, the final stanza just got me. Don't see me as different or think of me as any less. I'm just like other children trying to do my very best. And, it's so true. And she says in her AN that, her son got bullied throughout his life. And, me as a teacher, I do see this. We had a class right upstairs from where I was teaching. I wasn't teaching in a special adapted classroom to adapt to a special needs children. But I was, I was really friendly with the teachers in that classroom. And we had projects. So my students would make up things and we'd go into that classroom and participate and be with those children. And some of them had autism. So, I know that, some got really bullied. So what a great write here.
Great comment, Naomi. And I think that we have something very special taking place right now. Do we have Diane on her very first show? She submitted so many writes, but is this her very first show? Is she on the line?
Well, she is with us. I don't know if it's your very first show, but maybe. Hello, Diane. Glad you could join us.
Hello there. Can you guys hear me?
Yes. Hi, Diane.
Hello, Diane.
Hi, guys. Faziana, Dexter, Pam, Naomi. It's great to be here. It's a privilege to call in on this show tonight, guys.
Oh, thank you.
So
thank you. Thank you for being here. Yes. Great night. Did you get a chance to hear that last piece?
I did, and just read it before I came on. And, it just, I think of what I go through sometimes with noise. Like, you know, she talked about the noise, and I imagine, you know, what some person with an autism would have to go through with that same noise. You know, I can sit in a room and I can hear five different conversations, but for them it's so difficult sometimes. And I just, you know, I could never ever do justice to understanding how a mom feels about autism for their child, but I just certainly know that it's a topic that is really hard for a family to work with. But she wrote beautiful about what her son has gone through, and you know, she did justice to what a mom would. And great write. I really appreciated reading that.
Great comment, Diane. And Pam, what did you think?
Oh, I think this is absolutely wonderful. This is one of those poems that's worth reading more than once. I like that she speaks from on behalf of her son, using the first-person narrative, speaking in his voice, being his voice for him. And I think that's one of the privileges of being a parent or being a guardian. And also being a poet, is we get to speak for people we can speak up about autism, you know, and bring awareness through our poetry. And she does a wonderful job of doing that with lines like, I may get a little frustrated and sometimes I may cry. I just wish I could tell you that, but I don't understand why. And I think that is one of the hugest frustrations, is trying to understand why. So beautifully written and very well done.
Great comment, Pam. Yeah, I just feel like, you know, it's written on from the stanza, and it just really showed the sensitivity that somebody with autism has, you know, and they're extremely, you know, emotional. It's sensitive to different things in their environment. And I think that it just really taps into the sensitivity of the disability taps into the emotions and relays them to the reader in a way that somebody without autism, you know, we definitely can't get the full grasp of it, but it definitely taps into the emotions where you start feeling that empathy towards the situation. So very well done by Angel Wings. Faziana, you get last comment on this one, and then bring us to the next one.
All right. Well, I thought this was very well done, being written in the first person. It does create that empathy, and I actually relate to it quite a bit. I'm not autistic, but I do have extreme sensitivity to noise, and I get very anxious in crowds, and there are times where I have trouble speaking. So I related to this so deeply, and I like that it kind of shows that frustration of not being able to express yourself and having your own way of communicating and needing to have people be patient while you figure that out, and the frustration of not being able to express why you're upset, or you know, trying to explain things to people who don't understand how the sensory overload can make you feel, where a sound physically hurts you and then other people just expect you to go on like nothing is happening. I think that she captured that feeling really well.
Great comment.
And our next poem, I'm going to put Naomi's up.
I think Passion is with us, correct? Passion's Promise?
That is correct.
Oh, welcome,
awesome.
Passion.
Hi, Passion.
Hi, how are y'all doing?
Hi, Passion.
Hey, we got a packed house, a full party here now. So, anyway, glad you could join us. I think that... Faziana, we'll get you you and Diane and your poem here coming up. I think Naomi is about to get posted up next. Is that correct, Faziana?
That is, as soon as my internet cooperates.
may I say something first?
Oh, yes, yes, absolutely.
That was a remarkable poem written by Angel Wings. I experienced it firsthand. You know, these poor children, you know, they, with the bullying and being mistreated is absurd. I mean, these are special children that are, you know, brought into our lives to widen our eyes. And, you know, they do the exact same things that we can do just differently, you know. And with the distractions of the, you know, the noise and the shouting, and, you know, I had an autistic young lady who would literally throw her hands over her head when she heard the slightest raise of a voice. And I think Angel Wings did a remarkable job portraying that side of the realm. I think she did a really great job on it.
Thank you. Great comment on that one. And yes, I agree wholeheartedly. Naomi, looks like yours is posted.
Yeah, well, I wrote this. I have a friend that has an autistic son. My granddaughter has dyspraxia. I don't know if she has severe dyspraxia. I don't know if you know what that is.
Did you say dyslexic?
No, dyspraxia.
I don't know if I'm familiar.
She has limited motor skills, and her tongue, her brain doesn't tell her tongue how to place itself in her mouth to form syllables, so she can't speak like other children. So she got bullied a lot, you know, and even attempted suicide last fall. She's 12 years old now. I don't have somebody who has autism, but I have a friend who has an autistic son, and I have a grandchild, a granddaughter who's now 12, who lives with a disability. So,
okay.
Yes.
So close to home.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is a letter to my son. 10 years ago, I discovered the meaning of the word autism. By chance, when your grandmother had written down the symptoms on a piece of paper after she passed by a kiosk in a mall during the month of autism. Thanks to readings I did afterwards, I understood why you liked spinning the Fisher Price rings so much instead of stacking them like the other children. Why you could scream and scream so much if I turned right instead of turning left in a car or a stroller. Why you hated washing your hair. Why you didn't speak, not even to say mommy. Why, at the same time every night, you woke up in a crisis, inconsolable. Why you could spend hours watching Baby Einstein on TV. But I also understood that I had to mourn a neurotypical child, that I would probably never have great discussions with you, that you would have a lot of difficulty making friends and integrating society. And there you are, my handsome big teenager. You talk, and even too much. You did all your elementary school in regular school without ever giving up, and you entered secondary school in an adapted class. You always get up at the same time and follow the exact same routine every morning, but you're making progress. And I'm proud of you. But I would like you to forget all the times I lost patience with you, all the times I told you to stop bothering people with your questions about the movies you know everything about by heart. All the times I cried from exhaustion lying next to you. You are unique, special, intelligent, charming, generous, and so beautiful. No matter how others look at you, know that I will always be there. Love, Mommy. End of
wow.
Poem. End of write.
Wow, I'm blown away by this, right, Naomi? This is fantastic. Passions, why don't we start with you on comments?
Okay. I believe this is a beautiful, beautiful piece you have written, Naomi. The struggles of a mother when getting exhausted after hours of, you know, what we see as tantrums during the day, and it's just, you know, them trying to figure out their way. And, you know, you got the detail down to point, and I mean, this almost had me in tears. It was just heartwarming in the same. And to, we just need to let them know that they're forever loved, no matter what kind of circumstances that come their way. They will always be special to us. They will always be that warmth of love and compassion. And you did a wonderful job on this.
Yeah, this was fantastic, Naomi. I really enjoyed this. When you talked about the routine, the knowing different movies and, you know, by heart and all of these things, you know, you talk about the different tantrums and, you know, maybe never having a deep conversation with them. You know, we're talking about the tantrums and how other people view them. You know, nobody knows them like their mother or somebody close to them. And to know that, you know, that tantrum wasn't as long as the other one, or that tantrum they pulled themselves together a little bit better than the last one. And to know that that's progress, that other people don't see the long journey of it. Other people don't see that. They just see that might be this type of behavior, but that was actually a positive moment because they got back up and continued on a little bit quicker than before and were able to adjust. You know, so I just thought that you captured the totality of it so well in this piece. So very well done. Diane, could we go to you?
Yeah, for sure. Naomi, this was, you know, I can imagine knowing you writing this and not tearing up. I mean, I teared up hearing it. You described everything so well, you know. Just the turning of the stroller left or right, and knowing that if that little guy's sensory is not ready for that turn, it can disrupt the whole world. And, you know, knowing that, and then when you wrote about, I also understood that I had to mourn a neurotypical child. And that's got to be the hardest thing, you know. And like I say, to write this, what a beautiful write. I, you know, reading this, I tear up myself, and I'm just amazed at this writing. Thank you for sharing this.
Thank you. Well,
I,
you know, she's truly my idol, this friend that I have, and it's listening to her telling me about everything that she goes through. You know, since years and years that, you know, I wrote like in her name, but it's really because of her and her, and she's such a wonderful woman, and she's so courageous.
Well, it's a brilliant piece of writing to be able to put yourself in her shoes so well that somebody would mistake you for having the son actually with autism. So brilliant writing. Pam, what did you think?
Oh my goodness. I thought this was absolutely amazing. I love that you took time to write this on behalf of your friend, who does, like, she sounds like a truly just beautiful woman, you know, a strong spirit. I have to agree with Dexter when he used the word totality. You really captured the totality of the experience. I thought that was spot on there, Dexter. You know, because it's not all rainbows and puppies and everything's always perfect and amazing. There's moments of frustration, moments of anger, moments of having, like when you first get that diagnosis and having to mourn the fact that you won't have the child you thought you were going to have, and learning about together about the experience of autism. So absolutely a heartfelt write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam.
Very well said, Pam. And Faziana, why don't you get last comment on this and bring us to the next?
I think that you showed the variety of emotions that can come up. You know, I like that you wrote with love, you know, talking about the perspective of the caregiver as being a little bit frustrated and sad about not having the life that was expected, the connection maybe that was expected with the child, but also recognizing that being neurodiverse can have positive aspects. A lot of people who are neurodiverse are very smart and are great at routines. And, you know, sometimes it, with neurotypical kids, it's so hard to get them to follow a routine. In some ways, having a rigid routine, while it can be difficult, can also make for a very productive person. I like that you kind of touched all of that, the difficulties, but also, you know, the love for the uniqueness and the just the recognition of the whole person and the way that there is definitely good to be seen as well. So thank you. This is really nice.
Thank you, Susanna.
Diane, are you Diane D on All Poetry?
Yes, I am.
Okay, great. So I have your poem here, and you can be our next reader.
Did she have a SoundCloud? Would you rather have the SoundCloud played, or would you rather read it?
I would be okay with the SoundCloud.
All right, sounds good. I'll go ahead and push play.
Don't Break the Bubbles by Diane D. My breath beats outside my body. My blood bleeds purple and blue. I reel my head into my turtle shell. That's what my brain's wired to do. A raging flash flood of brain gnats is pulsing the marrows of my bones. Frayed wires are static to the touch. My body froths and my skin moans. In that room I can hear your hair. The fork hits your teeth and I pain. I see the world in panoramic view. When I melt down, I am not insane. If you hug me with cactus needles and hold me 1 second too long, I may just explode as glass shards. It matters not that I call you mom. 10,000 spiders unfurled all together, like a light switch startles the black. I fell into the vents in my bedroom, the way that light falls into a crack. A fascination with bubbles evolved. For any child who stared on in awe, people will instinctively pop them. But unbroken, it's a calm that I saw. So the next spoiled brat you may see is not just some family with troubles. It may be a me pining for freedom. So please, don't break those bubbles. End poem.
Wow, what a special write, Diane, and thank you for making the SoundCloud for it, because Your voice with that piano and the words, everything was spectacular. Let's get you some comments on this one. Let's go with Afasiana first.
I love this so much. I relate to it like a little too much. The I can hear your hair and your fork hits your teeth and I pain. And the way that the touch is described with frayed wires, static. Even my breath beats outside my body is such a wonderful first line. I feel like you capture those sensory just feelings so beautifully, and you say it all in artistic ways that really describe the way it feels. If you hug me with cactus needles, the idea that, like, you know, there's a reason why you or people react very strongly, sometimes negatively, to being touched or in certain circumstances. And for people who don't feel that, it can seem like a meltdown, but really, it, you know, if they felt what you felt, they would respond in the same way. So I think that this is such a wonderful way of capturing it. You use perfect descriptions. And the ending of please don't break those bubbles, like, you know, the sometimes those little things really matter, and you just let the bubbles be, let the person experience what they have to. This is just wonderful. I love it so much.
Great
thank
comment,
you,
Afasiana. Pam, what did you think?
Yeah, this is absolutely an amazing, right? Powerful lines all the way through. I have to agree with Afasiana. There's just some really just creative and strong ways that you've captured the experience of being somebody with autism and being overwhelmed by the senses around you, the sense of touch, the sense of, you know, hearing. And I really particularly liked how you said, I reel my head into my turtle shell, because so many people with autism need, like, their blanket to cover them up or something to help them to calm. I also like that you mentioned, I see the world in a panoramic view. When I melt down, I am not insane. If you hug me with cactus needles, I mean, that was, yeah, a really great line there. Another great one that was very visceral but made a strong point was, 10,000 spiders unfurled all together like a light switch startles the black. That is just absolutely, it's an exceptional metaphor for the whole idea of the nervous system just being thrown into shock. So excellent, right, Diane, and very well done.
Thank you, Pam.
Great comment, Pam. And Naomi, what did you think?
Yeah, this is just amazing, Diane. You know, the flow of it, everything that you mentioned, you know, this makes me, you know, the spiders and the spiders unfurled and, you know, the cactus needles. I remember this morning when I was at my friend's house and she was trying to dress her son. Her son must have been around. Well, he had started school. She was trying to dress him for school, and her autistic son. And he couldn't stand, since an early age, the rubbing of clothes against his skin. And he would just go crazy if she tried to dress him, you know. And I remember her chasing him around the table in the kitchen and, you know, and just breaking down and crying. And yeah.
Great comment, Naomi. Let's go with Passions to figure it out, or to go for comment last.
Okay. I think you do a wonderful job, Diane, and a wonderful read. I have to say I can't add much more than what the ladies had already expressed. I mean, the lines were remarkable. You captured almost perfectly the senses and reactions that an autistic child would have and go through. I, too, like if you hug me with cactus needles and hold me 1 second too long, it hits my emotions a little bit. So I just, it was a really good piece, Diane.
Thank you. And I want to thank all of you. Wonderful comments. And I just want to share a quote. When I was doing a little studying up on it today, you know, because I could never put myself in the body of anyone with autism, but, you know, to learn about it. And I heard this quote or read this quote today, and it was a doctor, and he said, if you've met one person with autism, you've just met one person with autism. And I thought that was so unique because, you know, it's like, well, if you've met one, you've met them all. Not so in this case.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. And, you know, I really appreciate that, Diane, that you didn't just, you know, and obviously it really showed in your write. I always appreciate when people do their homework on the topic. You know, if you're not speaking from, you know, your experience, your own personal experience, or, you know, not a firsthand view, I always appreciate that somebody really did their homework on it. And I think that it showed through that you did it justice here on this write. So very well done.
Thanks, Dex.
Let's go to, we got Passions Promise next up. So whenever you're ready, Passions, why don't you give that a read for us?
Okay. My autistic angel. Many years ago, I met a young lady through the home health agency I worked for. Her name is Amber, a beautiful autistic young lady. She was 26 with the mindset of a six-year-old. My God, I fell in love with her the moment I met her. Her mother stated this young lady had not spoke to anyone in several years, that all she does is gurgle and grunt. I felt bad for the mother and expressed my emotions freely because I was like family, feeling with them. I did everything, all her ADLs, except for feeding. She did that on her own, and I would redress her afterwards. Fast forward 2 weeks. After 2 weeks of working for them, I was taking them wherever I went for lunch, and she would laugh and dance. Remarkable smile she had. I told Tina, the mother, that I will have Amber speaking in no time. She said, whatever. They all tell me that. Inside, I cried, but I knew I would have her speaking. 2 days later, I said, Amber. She looks at me, and I told her I love her. I said, I love you. She smiled and wide-eyed and said, I love you. I looked at her and cried, and I said, I love you. She laughed and threw her hands around and said, I love you. Her mother was standing at the door hearing the commotion, then heard her daughter for the first time speak. She grabbed me and was in tears, so from that day I taught her to follow daily demands, such as comb her hair, get dressed, let's go for a ride, etc. Mostly, I love you, Mama. Fast forward 2 years. She was able to start doing a lot of things on her own. Oh, she still needed her mama, and Mama still needed her. But it was a true blessing, watching her transform. My heart wept every step of the way. She is a golden butterfly that has spread her wings and journeyed further than anyone expected her to. God is the divine master. During this time, I have to move back to my hometown, and they followed suit, which impressed and delighted me. They were even closer to me, but the agency decided that now she was out there, out of their jurisdiction, I could not tend to Amber anymore. Our hearts broke. So Mama carried on without my daily visits, but I still remained a frequent visitor. Fast forwarding to today, she is still doing well and happier than ever with her mother. I still stay in contact via phone from time to time because they live an hour away. I just want to say this. No matter the illness, no matter the individual, regardless of conditions one has, we are never limited. God takes us by the hand and leads us, whether for us to tend to someone or for someone to tend to us. We are a work in progress, some more than others. Autism individuals are highly educated individuals stuck in the growth spurt and need just a gentle, loving push. I do not care the condition, the demeanor, the actions. You put me in a room, I am blessed 100 times over. Amber is my autistic angel. I shall cherish her always. End of poem.
Wow, what a beautiful, beautiful rite, Passions, and beautiful story, in such a and told in such a loving manner. Diane, why don't we start with you on comments?
Passions, this was just unbelievably touching and emotionally, and the wording, you know, when you spoke of the limits, and it made me think, you know, the sky's the limits, but, you know, really there are no limits if we don't put them on ourselves, and that is so important for all of us, not just someone with autism, you know. And you created such character here, you created such a, you know, you move with the person. I see Amber, I feel Amber, and I got so excited with the I love you, you know, and it was just, my heart was beating as you were reading this, that I wanted to see the outcome of her progressing. And it's sad, and it's, you know, then it's exciting, and you're up, and it's so emotional and such a wonderful writing of what you feel for someone that is walking through that kind of journey in life. Well done. Very well done. Thank you.
Great comment, Diane. And Pam, what did you think about this, right?
Oh, I thought this was just absolutely beautiful, absolutely heartfelt. You know, perfect title for it, My Autistic Angel. I really like that you saw and you understood that this girl was truly a blessing to you, to her mother, to those who took time to get to know her. But I also hope you know that you were a blessing in her life and her mother's life. And I think it's just a wonderful thing that, you know, to have you share this story. And when you have a child who's nonverbal, to hear them speak any words, it is such an important moment. And it really is about those small steps, those small milestones. And I really liked this all the way through, but especially their ending. I am blessed 100 times over. Amber is my autistic angel. I shall cherish her always. Just an absolutely beautiful rite and very well done. Thank you.
Yeah, I thought that this was an incredible rite. And, you know, somebody that I work in SPED, I'm a paraprofessional. I work in DCD. I'm not in the autism room. But I think that it's kind of, you know, across the board. A lot of, you know, there's some kids that have disabilities that you're kind of grooming to be able to join the workforce in some type of capacity. But for the most part, a lot of the kids are going to have be in constant care of somebody. And the overall goal is to make that child a joy to work with when they leave. You know, are they nice? Like you said, you taught her, I love you, Mama. And things like that. It's really trying to prepare them to build some sort of relationship or be more compatible to building a relationship with the people that are just going to be caring for them for the rest of their lives. And that's the win. It's in the entire process. And I thought you captured that here very well, combing their hair, being appreciative, you know, and just being enjoyable to work with. And so I thought you captured that whole element here very well. And this is a very well done, right?
Thank you.
Naomi, what did you think?
Yeah, well, first of all, bravo, passions for the work that you do. And, you know, and for this rite. You know, I think this rite, you know, I second what everybody said. You know, me too, I was enthralled by the rite and by the, you know, I wanted to see, you know, just her development and you know, just follow along. You know, it's just amazingly written. But, you know, I think your rite gives hope. I think it's filled with hope. Hope for these children, you know, hope for these parents, hope that, you know, that they can progress and hope for just hope. It's filled with it. And, you know, and I love this rite for that. Just bravo, passions.
Thank you.
Great comment. And Faziano, what did you think?
I thought it was beautiful. I really like that it was broken down into timelines, too, like that you had that in between the paragraphs, like fast forward 2 weeks, fast forward 2 years, and just a way of breaking down the progress to show it's an ongoing thing, making connections, teaching certain skills, but really I think the connection is where I find the most beauty, being able to have that friendship and that helping her relate to her mother. I also like that you're talking about a person who is 26. You know, we talk a lot about children with autism, but there are adults. Eventually those children become adults, and I actually have quite a few friends who are autistic adults and who some of them didn't realize they were autistic until they were adults and got diagnosed later and then finally understood, you know, why things went certain ways in their life. I think that acknowledging adults who are autistic is a big deal that is ignored often. So I was really grateful that you wrote about an adult and about how you made that connection.
Thank you. Thank you all very much.
And yes, great piece. And Faziana, where do we head to next?
Dexter, can you please read the poem by Cecilia Cran?
Absolutely. This is called "Do You Know Someone Like This?" by Cecilia Cran. He is tall now, taller than his mother, me, or others in our family. He talks more now, but not as often as we would wish him to, so we rely on his facial expression. We see the distance in those eyes of brown. We see the fear in that puzzled frown. We feel, but do not fear, that clutch at our arms. When he is hurt and feeling down, we see all of this, but do others? No, all they see is someone who is different than they. Someone who does not always speak when spoken to, who does not always say what they would expect him to say, someone who acts what they call strange, who wrings his hands when he is fearful, who does not laugh when others are cheerful, someone wearing that strange helmet to protect him from those fits can do, from what those fits can do. Do you know someone like this? We do. And we love him. End poem. Wow, fantastic, right, Cecilia? Faziana, can we start with you on comments?
Well, I really like that ending. Do you know someone like this? We do, and we love him. And just reminding people that sometimes they have to consider that the thing that the action that they might be seeing as something strange, like the wringing the hands, recognize that that is a coping mechanism for someone, and that, you know, this is someone that has a family who loves him, and This is a whole person, a lovable person, and remember to treat him with respect. So I really like the way that this kind of calls out people who might not appreciate that. And recognizing that, yes, there are sometimes challenges, you know, not speaking when spoken to, and can say something unexpected. And people are afraid of something that they don't understand. Someone who they don't understand. And I just really like the framing of we love him. I think that's a perfect ending. And I appreciate this write from Cecilia.
Great comment, Faziana. Yeah, I thought that this write really embodied what this night and what this month is all about, you know, the word awareness and bringing awareness to people that might look like this is something strange that this person is doing. You know, and I like the part where it says unexpected. What's funny is that we work across the hallway from the autism room, and there's a kid over there that mimics everything that you do. And so if you walk into, it's like it catches you off guard because I'll walk into the hallway and I'll laugh and all of a sudden it's like almost like an echo, but he'll be from the other room and he'll be mimicking exactly the way that I laughed. And I'll look back and I'll go, what was that? You know, and I'll forget that he's doing that. And so it's like the unexpected thing, but he'll comment, he'll say the exact same words that I just said, but from a different room without even seeing him. So anyway, I thought that this was a beautiful write, and it really embodied what we were talking about with awareness. Pam, what did you think?
Oh, I thought this was just absolutely stunning. This is a whole night. It's just going to be, and this whole country is filled with poetry that just really pulls at my heartstrings. Yeah, and my nephew, who's now like 27 or something like that, he's autistic, and he was very much like that. He would repeat things even if they didn't make sense. Like there was one time I said to him when he was a toddler, "Silly naked John, go get dressed." And he said, "Silly naked Aunt Pam, go get dressed." The only different thing is that I already was dressed. But he would automatically repeat whatever you said right back at you. And what I really like about this write is, well, I like it all the way through, but I like that it is a reminder that, you know, of not to judge other people, not to judge families. I like that she brings up the fact that he wears a helmet because of his seizures, because so many times there are parts of autism that people don't think of, like the fact that people with autism are more likely to have seizures. Not all the time. It's not a given, but as I've mentioned earlier, every person's autism experience is different. There's a variety of symptoms and not everybody has the same ones consistently. I also really like how she mentions that he uses his facial expressions to communicate. That very much reminds me of my son, who also has eyes of brown. So this one in particular, I really connected with, and I thought it was beautifully written.
Great comment, Pam. And Diane, what did you think?
Oh, I really enjoyed this. This was a powerful write. Right from the first line, I read that he is tall now. And it was like he made it. There was so much power in that first line that he made it. He got to where we all didn't know if he could get to. And he's tall now. And it was, you know, just giving him that power and that encouragement and strength. And then, you know, when she talked about all they see is someone who is different. And it just takes me to, you know, the funny thing about the world is that we are all different, yet we see others as so different, but everybody is different. And once the world realizes that, I think every day that another person realizes that we are all different and accepts it, then that's when the world moves forward, and just a powerful right here. And then one more thing, you know, that someone wearing that strange helmet, and that image is so, you know, there's so many things included in that your heart just tugs, like Pam said. You know, my heart tugged when I saw that, because I saw that more in the past probably than I do now because of strides forward. But it's like, you know, it's powerful what you put into this rite and gave us the image to see. Great rite, really good rite.
Yeah, you know, that's a great comment. And when you say the helmet and stuff, you know what I think, just from working with kids, is that this generation might not be great at a lot of things, to say the least, like as far as work ethic, things like this. But this generation is extremely sensitive to feelings. They're extremely well-rounded, I think, as far as awareness. I don't think that, like you said, the stigma of the helmet and things like this, inequality as far as racism, gay, trans community, all of this. And I think for special needs, I mean, that's one thing that I think that this generation does a fantastic job as is the youth of being understanding. So I agree with the helmet thing. I hope that kind of stigma is something that is slowly going away as far as just the way that it's viewed. Great comment. Naomi, what did you think?
Yeah, well, I agree with everything you said. And, you know, it's so true that, you know, because of all the awareness that's being done nowadays, I agree completely with you, Dex, that you know, the world hopefully is becoming more accepting. And talking about this poem, you know, I was going to say the exact same thing as Diane said. She took the words out of my mouth. You know, they just got me from that first line. He is tall now. And I just love that, how she introduced us to this person that they love so much. And, you know, that you and all his differences, and, you know, just introduce us to him so that we begin to love him a little bit too, you know. And I think this is a wonderful, wonderful poem for you know, for awareness, you know, just beautifully written.
Great comment, Naomi. And Passions, last comment to you.
Okay, well, I'm going to go against the grain here. But okay. This is a beautiful, beautiful piece, but I wish I was as optimistic as you guys were about the change in the generation. I still see many people judging others by their disabilities, and it's very upsetting, because I read this piece and, you know, and I'm going, yes, you're right. You know, they see somebody that's autistic or of any sort of disability, and they're, you know, whispering and this and that. And I hope and pray that it does change dramatically for the children and adults that are coming up in this world today. But this piece just made me realize more so that, you know, we need to step up more to be what these individuals need, you know. And this was a very strong piece that was written, and it, you know, gave direction on what people see to versus what they, you know, they feel. And at the end, it says, do you know someone like this? We do, and we love them. Bravo. Great piece.
Great comment, Passion. Yeah, I thought that I agree with you. My experience on this generation just comes from right now at the high school I work at. We have what's called peer mentors that come into the different rooms, and they can work with the kids with disabilities. And we've been having so many that they're almost getting turned away. Sometimes having four of them in the room and they're all working one-on-one. And a lot of them are athletes, juniors, seniors, things like this. And so that's just where I think that my perspective kind of changes from, is that these kids don't have to be in there, it's just a flooding in of different peer mentors of kids that are seeking out to work with these kids, which is special. So, but everybody's perspective is different on it, and I don't disagree with you either. There's definitely a lot of change that needs to be made. Faziana, why don't you take us to the next piece?
I was going to invite Pam to read hers.
All right. And this is a write about my 15-year-old son, Jaron, who actually back in September, went to live in a group home. This is called The Communication of Expressions, and it goes like this. Words never came easy to your world. No and Mama were the only consistent ones, and over the years, I've loved to hear them both. You have a curious nature taking you on adventures that light the fuse of a mother's panic. You communicate with your expressions, like the look you give the inside of an egg roll, a look of pure disgust, or the joy of unwrapping a Tootsie Roll and popping it in your mouth, and you'd sigh more, ever hopeful, for another bite of chewy sweetness. Some words come as a surprise and never show themselves again, like the time I harnessed our dog Baby to your red wagon. You said, "Go, dog," and squealed and laughed around the block. Memories can be beautiful, but there is also anger, sadness, and frustration, and the constant asking of the question, why? Now I see you every week on Skype. Your brown eyes light up as a grin spreads. You are growing. You love to give tours of your new home, the ice cube trays being a particular favorite. There are choices a mother makes that tears at her heart. Admitting limitations and letting go is one of them. End poem.
Wow, fantastic read, Pam, and very heartfelt. Just incredible. I'll let Passion start with comments on this one.
Oh, Pam, you struck a chord with this one. This is a beautiful piece. I could actually go through the scenario and see everything taking place. And the progress, too. And I like this. The memories can be beautiful, and they can be. And then there's the sadness and the anger and the frustration. I mean, even as a caregiver, because you know there's just things, you know, you can only do so much, you feel, and then you get exhausted. But
absolutely.
Then now you see your memory on Skype, your brown eyes lit up as a grin spread. This is just a remarkable piece. It has me in tears, literally. This is beautiful.
Thank you, Passions. Great. I appreciate you.
Great comment, Passions. And Diane, could we get a comment from you?
Yes. You sure can. This is just powerful again, you know, reading the trays, you know, like that, just how powerful that one sentence is, you know, that's something that a mom connects with her child of, you know, knowing that what gives her child happiness. And it's the ice cube trays. And I imagine, you know, a mom would go home and stock up on ice cube trays to keep, you know. And it's just loving and powerful in every way. And, you know, I think that many of us in life have had to go through the survival, the surrender, and the survival of surrender Because surrender is not easy. And to surrender to something like having to let go of, you know, to give that, make that decision to give your child what you can give them through this situation is powerful and amazing that anyone can do it. And you know, just total appreciation for someone that can walk through that. And just powerful, Pam. Well put. Really well put.
Thank you, Diane.
Yeah, Pam, there's a lot of strength in this, right? This is just an incredible piece, and I'm glad that you shared it with us. I thought that the ice cube tray was a very good glimpse into the reality of the disability. You kind of, you're tugging so much at the emotional side. The ice cube is a very, the ice cube tray thing is almost a little bit of a comedy thing, you know, piece in there, but it also just brings that little glimpse of the realities of the awareness of the disability there. And, you know, when you talked about the emotions and that they have, the joys and the ups and the downs, I sometimes sit there and look at kids with disabilities and wonder, I really truly might not feel, you know, as heightened as happiness as that they feel. You know, to hear that squealing laugh and the joy that they get from a lollipop, there's almost nothing in my life that's maybe ever brought me that much joy. So it's like, do they have just a heightened happiness even from what we have too as well? Or, and that also goes the other way, that sadness. And kind of the memories can be beautiful. You know, talking about what was a previous rite, I think it was Naomi's kind of, those memories hold true, but, you know, like you said, this kind of sadness, anger that, you know, there might not ever be like a full acknowledgement in discussion about these memories down the line with them. And so these are memories that you have to hold true of how the situation happened. And you did so beautifully here in this rite. So very well done, Pam. I thought it was an incredible piece.
Thank you, Dexter.
Naomi, what did you think?
Yeah, well, this hit home. You know, when you talk about the words no and mama, with my granddaughter, it was like the same thing. She never talked, you know, till she was, I think she said her first word, maybe she was 4 years old. And I remember this day, we were in this park and with this this party. And this man, this father, he came up to her and he said, hello, what's your name? And my granddaughter, well, she couldn't talk very well, so she tried to say her name. And he looked at her and he just said, well, when you know how to talk and say your name, you can come and talk to me. You know, and I just wanted to punch him in the face so hard.
Oh, my goodness. I didn't see him that.
Well, but yeah, it just makes me think of all the days where we had to take her to specialists and put a popsicle in her mouth and, you know, move it around so her tongue would move. And so she'd learn slowly to say these words and to form these syllables. And we had to work so hard with her. And what I really remember is because she's conscious, she's intelligent, she's, you know, she's not autistic, she's aware. Well, she became aware at 6 years old. We really cried because she came up to us and finally she said, she looked at us and she said, why am I not the same as everybody else? Why?
Oh, my goodness.
And you know, we didn't know what to say. We just broke down. So this ride really hit home. Yeah.
Great comment,
Thank
Naomi.
You, I mean, this is just very...
And Faziana, what do you have for comment, and then bring us to the next piece?
I thought this was beautiful, and I liked the detail of it, like the look at the inside of an egg roll. I can just picture that expression, and especially because you have the next line as a separate line, a look of pure disgust. It really just emphasizes that. And then the story of the dog pulling the wagon, and that just joy at it, the squealed and laughed around the block. And like Dexter said, there are sometimes children who have trouble expressing themselves and who you don't hear them talk, but those children can have like the purest, most innocent, joyful laughs. And not just the children, actually. My mom worked in a home called L'Arche, which was for adults who had disabilities or were neurodiverse. And those people in that home had the most beautiful laughter. I mean, when they were mad, you knew they were mad. But I practically grew up there because my mom worked there, and she worked like all the time. Like, we'd have dinner with them, and it was just the whole experience. And that laughter really sticks. So I can just imagine the laughter of your son. And I know that putting him in the home was really hard for you, but those homes are sometimes wonderful, and they have companionship and help, and I mean, I loved L'Arche, where my mom worked. Everyone was a family there, and I think. It's beautiful that you still talk to him every week on Skype, and the fact that, you know, he lights up and he grins, it's just a testament to how much he loves you. And I love that you included that part about the way his eyes light up, because there's something magical about when someone looks at you and they're so happy to see you. And the detail of the ice cube tray made me smile, and the loving to give tours. You know, it means that he's proud of his place. You know, he likes where he is, and he wants to show off his stuff. So that is really great. To me, that's a really good sign of his connection to you and his connection to his place. So this is just a very touching piece. I loved it.
Oh, yeah. And the place he's living at, Chilita, he just absolutely an amazing place, just an amazing staff, and he is so well taken care of. So, yes, thank you.
That's really good. They can be so fun. My mom's job used to be to be the entertainment, so we would go out to baseball games with everyone, and we would do art classes, and like, I taught them how to build things with Lego when I was like 7 years old. it was amazing. So I'm so happy that he's happy there. Our next poem is The Journey Out of Bentown by Rick Six. And whose turn is it to read? I guess it's me, isn't it? All right. The Journey Out of Bentown by Rick Six. I'm proud of all my children, among them a nurse practitioner, owner and manager of her own health spa, a manager of a gift shop, a social worker, an Army veteran, and master mechanic, working as a supervisor at CarMax, a 911 emergency dispatcher, and a manager of a vape store. And then there's Ben, born autistic in an era when autism was not really understood. Ben was initially labeled with atypical pervasive developmental delay. They love to label them, don't they? What this meant to us is that he didn't talk until about age 3, and even then, we weren't the ones to hear his first word. Uncle Steve, a NAM vet friend of ours was visiting one day, and we had poured him a glass of lemonade. He was sitting on the couch with Ben while we attended to some chores in the other part of the house. After a while, I strolled into the living room to see how things were going with the two of them. "How's it going, guys?" I asked. He just looked at my drink and said, "Lemonade," said Steve. "He said lemonade?" I asked, for Ben had never before uttered a word. Making his wants and needs known only by screaming or sign language, I looked at Ben, who sat staring back at me. I smiled at him. He smiled back. "Can you say lemonade, Ben?" I asked. Ben continued to smile. "I swear he said it," said Steve. Indeed, language had begun to come, albeit slowly at first. Ben would eventually come to possess a tremendous vocabulary and master the art of communication, if sometimes in strange ways. If you are dedicated and persistent, nothing is beyond your reach. And Paul.
Great read of Faziana. And incredible, right, Rick Six? Thank you for sharing this with us. And it sounds like you have a beautiful family, very well, come from a very well-rounded family. And it's awesome that to express that pride in all of your children, and such a unique story when talking about Ben. You couldn't help but smile through this one when he's sitting there and staring back at you. He smiled and he really wouldn't give in quite yet that he could talk, but it was coming. But I really connected with making his wants known by either screaming or sign language. You know, that's such a thing in the world of working with people with disabilities, and what I talked about earlier about making them when they're, you know, as a big goal is making them when they're in the care of some other people down the line, them a joy to work with. And that's part of it, right? There's almost no in between sometimes. It's either you want this channel on, or it's like this is screaming, or, you know, there's this in between that you're trying to work. And so I just thought that this was a fantastic write, and thank you for sharing it, Rick. Pam, what did you think?
You may be muted, Pam. Well, I'll say goodnight to Diane and Naomi because they both have left us.
Passions, how about you? Good call. Good call, you're right. Thank you to Diane and Naomi. I understand they said it was a very emotional, difficult thing. And good catch, Faziana. Passions, what did you think about this write?
It was a beautiful write. It had me smiling when he strolls on into the living room, and it was like I knew what was coming, you know. And he left them hanging there for a bit, but it's a beautiful piece written on. You know, the saying, expect the unexpected, because it's going to happen. And here we have it. Ben spoke, and I agree. If you're dedicated and persistent, nothing is beyond your reach. It's a beautiful, beautiful poem.
I agree, Passions. Great comment. And Faziano, what did you think?
I liked it. I really liked that. He pointed out his pride in all of his children. You know, each of them have their own things that he's proud of, and that includes Ben. Ben has worked hard to be able to communicate, and it seems like has a really big family, so many kids. I just really like the way that he expresses, you know, that he cares equally for them. I like that he points out that, you know, labels can be difficult and not always a good thing. It's not, like, nice to be put in little boxes, although I do have friends with autism who feel relieved now that they realize that there are other people like them and they've been diagnosed. But, you know, it's different for everyone. Sometimes you don't want to be put into that. And especially because, like he says, it was in an era when it was not understood, so possibly not treated very well because of diagnosis. And I think that it's fun that he gets into which word was first, lemonade, and I really like that he describes that. But also, to me, it makes sense that it wouldn't necessarily be his family that he says the word with, because his family can understand his other ways of communicating, and sometimes if you're with someone who doesn't understand your sign language and all of that, you have that extra motivation. If you really want something, you gotta find a way. And so that's the moment where he yells out lemonade. It's probably partly because it was a moment where he needed to make that progress. I know when small children are coming up with learning how to speak, it's usually because of that. Like they need to get their point across, and so it may happen later. But Ben reached that point, and I think this is a really nice, tribute to his son.
I agree, Faziana. What a refreshing moment. No, I'm just kidding. That was a bad bad joke. But the lemonade part. All right, Pam, are you back?
I am. I don't know why my phone dropped, and then it tells you to put in the number to let you into the studio as a host, and I started putting in the phone number, and I was like, oh, shoot, now I have to hang up again. And it was just like, I tried to sneak back in quietly, but obviously it didn't work.
I did that last week during Part Sinner, Part Saint. I kept doing the phone number over and over again. Bob was like, what's happening? I'm like, I don't know. And then I realized later.
Yeah. The struggle is real. What did you think about this, right, Pam?
Oh, I thought this was wonderful. First of all, and I know pretty much everyone has said it, but I think it was such an important thing that he started off with his other children. Because too oftentimes, and I'll say this because I feel it's true about my own children and many other siblings of autistic children, is they're the unsung heroes. There are so many, they have oftentimes, and not all the time, I had to split up some pretty bad arguments between my kids, all of them, including the autistic one. There's this unconditional love, this kind of attachment, and they're there. The thing is, you know, siblings of children with autism oftentimes have to mature faster than other kids do. And I like too that he, you know, the part about saying lemonade to his uncle and the joy you felt about that, about, you know, having that simple moment of communication. I just think this is a wonderful rite to bring awareness to what it's like to be a family that has a child with autism. So beautifully written and very well done.
You know, Pam, I'm glad that you said that too, because that's almost a whole another side to this is siblings of somebody that has a disability and how it weighs on them, and it's not that they don't love them, but the amount of attention required of the parents to the child with the disability. And then also, too, sometimes the parents get so locked in that they're like on their, so, you know, a coworker of mine has a niece, a nephew with Down syndrome, but she keeps on her sister going, all you do is post on Facebook about your child with Down, you know, the child with Down syndrome, about his achievements, the other child completely goes unnoticed. So it's like it's such a dynamic that is so it's so profound on the family, and so I'm glad that you brought that up about the other siblings having to mature faster, because it's kind of something that goes unnoticed sometimes about the attention of the other kids. So very, very good comment. Faziana, let's go to the next piece.
Okay, we have one by Dutch Tulips, and I think it's your turn to read, Dexter.
Okay, will do. This is Dutch Tulips. This is called Key. A sun ray pierced the clouds and covered you with warmth. Sparkling, you stood and smiled, mesmerized by a bug's charm. Alone in your own little world, and me wishing I had a key, just to be able to connect to you, and have you connect to me, with me. Your green eyes always searching, fingers fiddle with paper clips. Where are you, my son? Are you hiding? Where do you go on your trips? Autism is your burden in life. You tell everyone to ask me, because sometimes I do understand, then I feel like I found the key. End poem. Great, great piece, Dutch, and I'm glad that you submitted this to us. Let's go, Pam, why don't we start with you on comment?
Absolutely. This is a powerful and emotional brevity. Another one I really relate to, another one where it really pulls at my heartstrings. I really like sparkling eastern smells, mesmerized by a bug's charm. You know, so oftentimes the way an autistic child can become obsessed with something is part of their, to me, part of their strengths. You know, so many, and not everyone, like my son is low functioning, but there are high functioning autistic people who their obsession becomes their career, you know. But it's still, even if it doesn't become their career, it's just a beautiful and joyful thing to show somebody throw their entire interest into something that they like they want to study that bug, they want to collect those dinosaurs, they want to, you know, study the way a tire spins on a toy car. I mean, just throwing out examples from my own experience as well as the poem. But I like the questions of this. Where are you, my son? Are you hiding? Where do you go on your trips? Now, oftentimes we are trying to draw children with autism out of their world when what we should be trying is to go into theirs. And I think this expresses that beautifully, and it's very well done.
Great comment, Pam. And Passions, what did you think?
Well said, Pam. That was well said. It was a beautiful, beautiful piece written. I mean, I too enjoyed the sparkling you stood and smiled, mesmerized by a bug's charm. I could picture the child just gleaming at the little bugs, and you know, they all get in their own little world and enjoy some things that we don't think about. And just like Pam said, you know, we don't. It's not like them trying to fit them into our world. It's like we should be fitting into their world, into what they, you know, what they see and what they do, and enjoy that. I like the same lines of, where are you, my son? Are you hiding? You know, all in all, it was a beautiful piece written by Dutch Tulips.
Great comment. Yeah, I think that this poem reveals almost, you know, which a lot of the other ones have revealed, just the interesting, you know, kind of chain of events. And I won't say that it it brings out the autism in all of us or something. But it's funny that this child is so fixated on different things, you know, bugs and on these different trips and these travels, that, and they're such a special person that you as the parent or you as the person that's caring for them have become absolutely fixated on them. Is kind of what the day, and so this person, you know, it's revealing how much he has studied his son, I believe that this is about, correct? And so, or it could be, my son. And so it's just it's so interesting to me that, the connection, he's thinking about where have you gone, he's studied him so much that it is almost in the same effect that the child with autism has been studying everything else. So I just thought that this was a very interesting piece and very well done. Faziana, what did you think?
I love what Pam and Passion said about trying to get into their world instead of expecting them to get into ours. I think that's such an important thing to acknowledge and say, that it's not about trying to make them, in air quotes, normal. It's about letting them be their true self and understanding what that means and how we can support them in that. And I think that this is clearly a parent who's trying to make that connection. It even says connect twice. It's that aim of connection. And I really like the question, where are you, my son? Are you hiding? Where do you go on your trips? To wonder when he's gazing off into seemingly nothing, what is he imagining? What is he trying to get away from, or what is he trying to get to in his mind? I like that there are questions within this, because it shows the thoughtfulness, and it also makes the reader question what could possibly be going on in the son's mind. And I just love questions within a poem that make you consider how it could go and what they were thinking as well. That I feel like I found the key comes back to that concept of trying to get into their world, because if he finds something that the son is very passionate about, such as like the bugs, then that might be the key to understanding his world. And I think that's beautiful to look for that and to be willing to use that key. Loved it.
Great comment.
Now we have one by Curtis Mayer, and Passions, would you like to read that for us?
Sure.
Thank you. I just posted it on the board.
Oh, great. Poem for Greta Thunberg by Curtis McMyer. First, it should be known that the proper nickname on the street for all versions of Margaret, Margarita, Greta, perhaps Gretchen, is Grits with a V. If you're nasty, I want to add a little edge, Grits. Think food or sand, but also a nod to true grit, having courage or resolve. We tend to oversimplify the books that the Nazis burned as being nonconformist. The truth is, the ash piles held tomes discussing topics far more relevant today, including alternatives to capitalism and extensive analysis regarding sex and gender studies, also wiped clean from existence, where the complete works and scientific findings of Hans Asperger, whom Asperger syndrome is named after, essays, photos, journal entries, written by case study participants, documented interviews, and subject profiles, you name it. We're talking years of untold drawers, cabinets of unreleased material, cardboard boxes full of buried treasure, bank vaults worth of data gathered in interactions with children who today we would know, recognize as being on the autism spectrum, all of it erased in black towers of smoke, Hitler's units set back decades, possibly more than a half a century of our global understanding concerning mentally divergent behavior, untraceable, uncountable archives of indispensable research gone up in flames. That's not a metaphor. In theory, this means ASPIs and other autistics would be normalized, accepted, better understood by now if the general public had only been spared that pesky fiasco of a cover-up. And why was Dr. Asperger's research destroyed, you may ask? Because children with no filter or grasp of social cues are more likely to bypass analogy in favor of being literal, thereby pointing out the obvious, like, say, when the emperor is naked or when a eugenicist dictator is busy stuffing people inside ovens and getting away with it. Mass conspiracy becomes impossible when there are chunks of the population who are incapable of lying. Let me say that again for the ones in the back. Mass conspiracy becomes impossible when there are chunks of the population who are incapable of lying. People like Kim Peek and Temple Grandin are walking museums of information. We now believe some of history's greatest minds lived on the spectrum. Imagine a world without the contributions of a Tesla, Da Vinci, Alexander, Hamilton. The Nazis saw autistics as their genetic inferiors, yet feared that they would blow the roof off their entire operation. They used to burn people like me, like us, children, on one hand because they thought we were retarded. On the other hand, because we had them all shook at the thought that we just might be intellectual powerhouses. I honestly don't give a hot purple if you're intimidated by my intellect. I know I'm a sweetheart. I'm not an intimidating person. You're intimidated. There's a difference. When I think of how everyone talks about the Swedish girl and her superpower, before Rain Man hit the theaters, before the internet was in on our phones, before Team Mark Out became a lifestyle slogan, every time I was told, you don't need to be so on all the time as we get a choice in panic attacks and hypersensitivity. For every time someone misinterpreted me or my actions when I was being too forward, no filters. If you want to understand the alienation that comes at cost of being a mutant, the feeling that you don't belong, that you always in the wrong place, there is literally a community coping website to support those living with spectrum disorders. I prefer the word condition called wrong planet. I can't stress this enough. The burned people like us, alive. They melted our flesh to bone with acid, blow torches, chemical toxins because we evolved a genetic allergy to accepting other people's bullshit. So forgive me if I take it personal, but for real, Nazis plus tax, full sin. Sorry if you think I'm boring. Sorry if me sharing facts makes it sound like I'm giving a lecture. If I come off as too sassy or if this conversation drags on a little too long, you could always shut me up with a shot to the head. It worked for those other guys. Snitches get ditches after all. Maybe I wouldn't have gone out in a gas chamber, or maybe I would have gone out in a gas chamber. I'm not mad at the 16-year-old who gets to pontificate and lead marches. It's just that when I was her age and younger, I was a freak, the weirdo who likes cartoon and animals. I'm still the weirdo who likes cartoon and animals. If I pepper my speech with too many puns and colorful zingers, I'm annoying. But when Robin Williams goes off on a tangent full stream of consciousness. Why, he's a comedic genius, life of the party. For every Greta Thunberg, there's a kid out there who won't go viral for knowing what they're talking about. For every grit you hail as a personal hero, your meme-worthy inspiration porn, there's an undiagnosed man in his 30s who can't figure out why he can't maintain a relationship, who commits suicide because no one ever told him that he's in Omega level. It's not his fault. It's just that the Nazis' assault on progress roadblocked what would otherwise be common knowledge by now. So here we are, some 80 years later, the girl gets championed for her convictions and mentally acuity. But for 12 seasons of The Big Bang Theory, Sheldon was my life as minstrel show. Oh, being an overly opinionated, self-educated calamity howler who tells everyone exactly what they're doing wrong is in now. Cool. In my day, we called them quirks, tics, idiosyncrasies, you know, that thing he does in kindergarten during recess. I told my teacher about a classmate who had misbehaved on the playground. She said, no one likes a tattletale. My bad, I didn't realize I was supposed to wait a lifetime for whistleblowing to become trendy. I'm not bitter, just a little tart. Explosive tempers and bouts with frustration at the world are also conditional symptoms. But it's cool that she gets to be a celebrity while some of my friends got Baker acting for the same reasons. If Grit talked to you one-on-one, you'd accuse her of giving unsolicited advice. I stopped sharing advice with strangers unprompted because I've been told that's rude. I regularly babysit an 8-year-old on the spectrum, the same age Grit was when she first identified as a climate change activist. Won't get the same opportunities to be a some white woman's icon breathing fire at the UN. In part because his mom's black and his father's Puerto Rican. My favorite Jesus is the one who used a whip to mark out the money changers in the temple. Called them all a den of thieves. When you think about it, Jesus handed out a lot of unsolicited advice. I'm not saying your savior wasn't asked you to say. I'm just saying maybe the Sermon on the Mount would have been more digestible and marketable if it was spoken by a white girl. It's a thin line between pride and arrogance. But I'd rather walk the tightrope than dwell in the gully of shame. James Brown taught me pride in the next best thing to being bulletproof. She isn't important because she's smart or well-spoken. She's important to the present and our place in tomorrow's history. Because one century would have tried her as a witch, and in another, she'd be an unmarked grave. She was diagnosed 3 years after first reading about global warming and deciding to make it her cause of advocacy. One habit of Aspie's is there that we're prone to word vomit. We go through extended periods of silence followed by impassioned outbursts. Shh, Curtis, you're too loud. I'm right here. Why can't you act normal for 1 second? Greta, you're so inspiring. I love how you always speak your mind. I want my daughters to grow up to be just like you. Some of us tend to exhibit a kind of late bloomer complex. We lag behind our peers until one day we start laughing everyone. It's believed this takes place because in times of quiet rest and solitude, we're actually doing is overanalyzing and interpreting the environment so we can at last cut once in decision-making process and navigate circumstances more perfectly. Aspies also typically have either stunted or advanced spatial awareness, depending on where the person is at in their life. I didn't speak until I was almost 2. Once I did, my parents joked that they couldn't shut me up. I was conversing with grown-ups in full sentences. Imagine 2 years of silence followed by a kid who one day starts talking to you in novels. It was as if someone flipped the on switch on my back and the doll began motor-mouthing nonstop. I like to picture myself as pages flying out as a book, coming to life as paper cranes, a Pinocchio scenario where an encyclopedia turned into a real boy. At the conference in Stockholm, the interviewer asked for a reaction to get the news, the revelation of a condition. Grit describes months of depression. I stop talking. I stop eating. I only speak when I think it's necessary. Now is one of those moments. History is repeating itself in record time. Buddy Wakefield. They give her the floor. Her voice becomes a horde of Vikings on Judgment Day, like Neptune, calling forth the tempest. Her eyes are code red. Blood thunder leaps its way out of her throat. Sirens and alarms go off throughout the building. Walls begin to tremble. Specks of dust and plaster rain from cracks fissured in the ceiling. The whole place is going under. Puddles form on the surface of the ship. Everyone is standing in it up to their socks, their knees, their waistlines. And all the old white men, they say, how adorable. Honey, shouldn't you be in school? Perhaps reading poetry? Learning about how the world works? And I'm like, easy for you to say. I mean, you're the ones burning down the library. An idiom about rappers' stage name says, rap game like the rap game. You're going to earn your Z's. Alluding to prestige implies sleep is only earned and deserved through hustle and game-changing effort. Few things are more dishonorable than someone who hasn't earned a Z's in their name. End poem.
Wow, that was quite the mouthful. So great job with that read. I know it was a super long one that I assigned to you. So well done.
Thank you.
I didn't notice at first how long it was. I'm like, oh, I maybe shouldn't have thrown that at you. But you did a great job with it.
Thank you.
My favorite line in there was, a Pinocchio scenario where an encyclopedia turned into a real boy. I just love the way he put that. There's a lot of informative stuff here. I mean, I haven't fact-checked the history, but it makes sense to me that the knowledge could have been lost. You know, as a librarian, the burning of books just, you know, makes me cringe. So the idea that research was lost and put us behind is sad and probably true. I like the references to, you know, people in the past who were brilliant and may have been on the spectrum, like Tesla or Da Vinci, so many people who had unusual ways of thinking. The idea that people who think differently are often brilliant in their own ways. So I like that was pointed out. I thought that it was really good the way he talked about the privileges of our time and of certain classes or the people who may be treated differently and given opportunities despite being on the spectrum when other people, whether it be poverty or race or what have you, could be discriminated against even more because they have double challenges in people's opinions. So that makes it extra hard to have people accept your neurodiversity. So that, you know, is something to acknowledge. And I think that he did an really interesting job of talking about that with the part where Greta, he's pointing out, in some centuries may have been burned as a witch. And I think that's true of a lot of strong women who speak up. But also, you know, people who were neurodiverse or had any kind of like physical disability did not survive in the old days. They were cast aside. Yep. So how that has changed, and hopefully will continue to get more safe and more accepting as we go. Sorry, Dex,
no,
I didn't hear you earlier, so I just kind of jumped right in.
I think my Skype dropped, so no, that's okay. No, I think you're right, and to be honest with you, there is a lot of truth to this poem as far as historically. The Nazis were responsible kind of for coining and using the terms normal, which would obviously sprung on abnormal if everybody that fell out of that, and then that's what brought eugenics and a lot of the different standards and ways that people viewed. So there actually was a lot of historic truth that he put into this. And this is one that you'd have to unpack a few times. He bounces so well back and forth and has it laid out in such a way that just the layout and the structure of it is to kind of be marveled at. So this is just a very heavy rite. You can tell that there's a lot of anger within this rite. I believe that this is the first rite. You know, this is an autism, and I do not want to be judgmental. I hope I'm not, but I believe that this is from the first poet here this evening that actually is on the spectrum. And so I thought that this was a very incredible rite and a very in-depth and very vivid way and abstract way of covering the topic. So very well done to Curtis. Pam, what did you think?
Oh, I thought this was amazing. And I did read through the rites for tonight. I didn't get to comment on all of them, but I do know that for a future show, you have other ones that roll from the perspective of having autism or being on the autism spectrum themselves. Oh my gosh, this one just blew me away. I'm so glad, because he not only wrote from his own experience of what he goes through as someone on the spectrum and how he feels, but takes us back in history, as Afasiana mentioned, you know, the people who may have an autism, though we can't prove it, but, you know, based on their behaviors. And even the fact that the idea that people are fear someone who speaks the truth. I thought it was a wonderful and bold thing for him to say that. I like that he brought up Temple Grandin. I highly recommend anybody who hasn't seen the movie about her, see it. She is a remarkable woman. He does point out so much of the things that are just not always fair about life. Like, some people are celebrated for their quirkiness and others are told, you know, and I'm paraphrasing here, basically to shut up, to try to fit in with the called norms of society. Just a powerhouse of a rite all the way through, and really an eye opener. So just an excellent rite and very well done.
That's right. And Passions, I'll give you final comment on there, since you were the reader of that. And I don't mean to make light, like, oh, that was a long one, things like that. I appreciate it, and I appreciate the writer for submitting such a strong piece. So any comment on it?
Passions actually has dropped.
Okay. No problem. This was right at the end of the show. And you know what? I kind of figured that this one was going to happen, and what a fitting topic to have. Now we have this show about autism awareness here earlier in the month. 2 weeks from now, we are going to have a carryover show. We have a ton of rights left. Hopefully everybody can join us again. And if your right wasn't read here this evening, it will be read here in a couple of weeks. And I expect that show to be just as incredible as this one was. And I think that it's only fitting that Autism Awareness Month is spread out within two shows. Thank you, Afasiana, for being sick and joining us here this evening. Thank you, Pam, again, for really being the one that spearheaded this entire thing. Do you have anything to say here, Pam, at the end?
Just thank you to everyone who put their rights in for this show. Thank you to you and Afasiana. You know, just a great big thank you to everyone. I love you all.
Great comment. Yeah, and thank you to all the callers, Naomi, Passions, Diane, for calling in. And And like we said, we'll see you here in a little bit. Half hour. Pam has another show here coming up this evening. So stay tuned for that. But good night, everybody. And continue to keep them pens moving. Thank you.